You're listening to Gifted with Sheila White, a podcast that will inspire you. Its purpose is to uplift and entertain creatives to pursue their passions through their gifts. Sheila White is a film and television producer, author, and entrepreneur. And in each episode, Sheila talks with gifted individuals about their journey and the lessons they've learned. It will also inspire you to make an impact, living your best purpose-driven life with clarity. And now, here's your host, Sheila White.
Welcome to another episode of Gifted with Sheila White. Wow, we are in studio today. I am really, really excited. I have with me, I don't want to say a baby celebrity, but a baby that grew up around a lot of celebrities. And this is going to be real talk today. We are really honoring the life and the legacy of Mr. Earl D'Amico. He was a resident of Joliet, a councilman, a person that really made an impact in the great city of champions, Joliet. And we are honored to have his daughter with us today to talk a little bit about what Joliet was like in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. Back in the day, this is a city of champions. We didn't start yesterday. If you're new to this, you're going to hear some true stories about what happened in the life and times of Mr. Earl D'Amico, his family, and the people that they impacted. A lot of celebrities came through the city of Joliet. Joliet was booming. It was popping back in the day, and it's a great city today. So I want to welcome our special guest today, Mr. Earl D'Amico's daughter, Gianna Barone D'Amico. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Sheila. I'm so happy to be here.
You know, there's so much that we've got to talk about today, but I want to first, Gianna, go a little bit and talk about your parents. Where was your dad from and where was your mom from? Where were they born?
Well, mom was born in Puerto Rico, San Juan, and dad was born in Joliet, Illinois.
Wow. And okay.
Can I say the date?
The date, yes.
October 29th, 1929, which was Black Tuesday, the day the stock market broke.
Now, that's interesting because here is a birth happening and then the disaster. So it's like a worldwide disaster, the Great Depression. A lot of people were, at that time, they say were jumping out of windows and thinking life was over. But there were babies being born. Then this great man, Earl, was born in such a dark cast over the whole world. Yet his life really made an impact. He was really a light in that time as he went through time. Now, tell us a little bit about your mom. You said she was born in Puerto Rico. Was she there all of her life before she came here? Or
well, she came
did she
to
move
the
around?
States to go to college at Fordham College. And then she worked in D.C. She's very brilliant and worked in the for the government.
Okay.
And met dad on a blind date in D.C.
On a blind date.
That she almost canceled.
And, you know, now they do it computerized. People will meet someone online on computer. In those days, a blind date was really a blind date.
Somebody set them up. Yeah.
Wow. And so have you had a chance to visit Puerto Rico as a little girl? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's beautiful. Okay. I don't have a lot of family left there, though.
Okay.
They're all gone.
Okay.
A couple cousins left. That's it.
So now what was your memory when you went to visit Puerto Rico? Because Puerto Rico is a different Puerto Rico today. You know, we've had all the catastrophes that have happened with the weather and things like that.
I went in the 70s.
Okay.
It was beautiful.
Okay.
I felt at home there. I don't know why. Maybe because I was born there. We lived there for a couple of years, too, after I was born. Then we came to Joliet.
Okay.
So I was there. I loved it there.
It was like sun and fun.
A lot of cars. I remember there was just everybody was on the road driving, but it was beautiful. The beaches were gorgeous.
Wow. And so we talked a little bit about the Great Depression during that time when your dad was born and growing up in that time era. Did he talk to you and the family, your sister, about the memory of that and how times were? Or was it just, let
Never.
Me just bear this?
Dad, I think dad was such a dichotomy. Being born on that day, he was the most positive person. And he never talked about not having a lot. He talked about one thing, that grandma would dress him in wool when he was a baby. And he was so hot and he never wore wool for the rest of his life. But he remembers that. So that's about all he, you know, he talked about that was negative, you know, when he was young like that. He had fun from the day he was born, I swear.
Now, for those that don't know about your dad, tell us a little bit about your dad, because I had an opportunity to meet him at the restaurant and things like that. But tell us some of the
such
the
a
type of person that he was.
What a great dad. Such a wonderful man, kind, humble, did all his business deals with a handshake. He Everybody liked him. He was very cordial, very, you know, very polite. People, everybody tells me to this day that they miss him, and they really loved him. He was such a great person, and he was. The restaurant business was perfect for him because he was a perfect host.
Yeah, a person. He was a people person.
And he thrived. That was his calling.
Now, I know that he had a restaurant. We'll get into that a little bit later in the restaurant businesses and other businesses that he was in. But he would often come up to the table and just talk to people. Here's the owner of all of these businesses, and he was just so personable. How are you doing, and greet people, and just so friendly of an individual.
Always out front. Always out front with everything he did.
Yeah,
he never stayed in the back. He was out there meeting people. Everybody loved him.
Now, one of the things that you mentioned, you said that, you know, that he had such a kind heart and things like that, wanting to really help people. He also served as a councilman.
Yeah,
that's serving people. I mean, that's more than just it's my business and let me come out and see what's going on at the tables and in my real estate ventures and things. But he decided to become a councilman to serve the community of Joliet.
He did, and he really liked it. It was something back then. He ran for mayor too, but didn't win. But he was a councilman.
Okay,
and you know, it was fun to watch him up there.
Now, did you all remember going door to door and knocking and trying to help solicit to vote for my dad?
I know he did publicity shots and stuff like that for his flyers and that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
And so he was a councilman, I think for about 4 years or so that he was councilman, then decided to run for mayor. And I know around that time, I remember him saying that he was building the Sheraton Hotel.
Right.
And that was like, you're running for mayor, you're building this hotel. Tell us about that time, during that time.
Oh, that was wonderful. It was probably around 73, maybe 72 when he ran.
Okay.
The hotel was, I couldn't believe he would do it. He was going to do that. And he met with Sheraton and franchised a hotel and attached it to D'Amico's 214. And it was wonderful. It had a swimming pool. It was so much fun. And it was just he was such a courageous man. He was in his 40s to do all that.
Now, did your uncle and them together, they were
absolutely. They were partners in every business, and they never fought. They were two opposites, but they never fought.
Wow.
Tony was more quiet, but everybody liked him too. But Dad was more outgoing, out in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
But they got along beautifully.
Now, let's talk about the Sheraton Hotel, which was located in Joliet, downtown Joliet. What were some of the memories? You said there's a swimming pool, and you guys, I know, was it like just having another home or something?
Oh my gosh, yes. We would have sleepovers there. Dad would let us invite all our friends. Oh my God. They would make tent. We had that recipe for tin roof sundaes, and we'd get up at midnight at the hotel, and all the girls, we'd all make sundaes. We just had a blast there. We had they had a dumb waiter, and we would go up and down inside of it.
Oh my God.
To the ballroom.
Oh,
my girlfriends would come and visit. In fact, 75 too, he still had it, because I had a friend from college that came to visit, and she couldn't believe, you know, we just had so much fun. We stayed overnight there.
Wow.
Had breakfast.
I mean, who would want to stay at home when you have a hotel, when you have a pool and people coming in and out, and the sleepovers that you can have, as
we
you mentioned.
We had a great childhood.
That was like a second home, wasn't it?
We were downtown every day because my parents both worked there.
Okay.
So we would hang out there and across the street at the YMCA. So we were in every event, you know, every activity at the YMCA.
Oh, my.
Because it was literally 5 steps across the street.
Now, that was a Sheraton. That was just one of the businesses. Let's talk a little bit about some of the other businesses that your dad had, some of the restaurants. Specifically, let's start with 214, because that's the spot. That was the spot.
The late 50s, Dad bought it. It was the Harwood American Legion Post.
Mm-hmm.
It was a kind of dark and dreary place. It was very, you know, he transformed it. Him and Tony bought it.
Okay.
It was huge. It had 1, 2, 3 dining rooms, a back bar, a ballroom, just massive, and a patio area where they also serve food.
Oh.
And he transformed it. He renovated the whole building.
Wow.
I can't believe he did that in his 40s.
Now, there was a ballroom that was there. And how many did that seat, the ballroom?
1,000.
About 1,000 people.
It's still there. The Renaissance Center owns it. And We had balls there. All the balls were held there because that was a place to go at that time. There weren't a lot of places.
Okay.
So every charity ball was there. Every marriage, weddings were there.
Wow.
Parties. They had the theater in the round.
Wow. Now there's the ballroom there, and then there's like a disco area there, wasn't
there? Oh, yeah.
It? What about that? I mean, you talk about the 70s and 80s. It's like flashing lights and things.
It was called Frazier's Den, and it was a disco.
Okay.
And it had a black and white checked floor that lit up, and everybody was just...
Before Dancing with the Stars, thought that was something
else. This was in the early 70s.
Okay, okay.
And everybody was discoing, and they named it Frazier's Den after a lion that was a rescue lion.
Oh, like a marquee or something.
He was a legend.
Tell us a little bit about that. Because,
oh, my gosh.
I mean, this is like, you know, when you look at Paramount or these theaters, they have a lion roaring or something. People think that was the first time.
But, Earl was the first.
Oh, wow. So,
I'm kidding.
So tell us about this lion, this marquee.
Frazier was a rescued lion in a Los Angeles lion sanctuary. He fathered 33 cubs at the age of 75 because they rescued him from a Mexican roadside, what is it called?
He was just wandering or something?
No. He was in a circus.
Oh,
a Mexican circus.
Okay.
Had always been by himself, never was with other lions
or anything.
And they rescued him on the sanctuary, and they had all these lionesses there that wouldn't have anything to do with the young lions, male lions, but they took care of him.
Oh, my.
And they would let him eat first and everything. Well, he was 75 years old, and he fathered 33 cubs. Yes, he did. So he was a legend.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, nationally and even worldwide.
Yeah. Wow.
So Dad, his portrait was draped at the entrance of Frazier's Den, the disco.
Oh, wow.
So it was in honor of Frazier. That's just a tongue-in-cheek for my dad.
Oh, my gosh.
He had a sense of humor. But the disco was real popular, place to go.
Mm-hmm. Now, what were some of the people that came to the disco? I mean, was just anybody?
Everybody in town.
Okay.
Everybody. If you ask anybody my age, they were all there back then.
Okay.
You know, it was a place to go.
And they had
packed.
Like a DJ or somebody to just spin music?
Yeah, they had somebody spinning records.
Okay. You said interesting records in those days, right?
Records.
Records in those.
Vinyls. Records.
Vinyls in those. And they're back now, too. It's amazing.
I know. I have some. It's true.
So they had the ballroom there, and then they had the disco area there, and all of this activity. I mean, there's just something going on all the time at 214 Ottawa Street and things.
They had a back room that was a bar that they had smaller bands, and on Friday nights, they would have a trio back there, you know, during the week, every week.
Yeah.
And upstairs in the ballroom is where they'd have the big names.
Wow. Now, when we talk about the ballroom and 214 Ottawa, that 214 is still there, but it's something different now. Like you said, the Renaissance Center owns it. Let's go back to your dad and your uncle. They purchased this property. Now they have all this space. How are they going to attract talent to come in to fill this space besides having weddings and things along that line? He had a very important friend. His name was John Yonelli. Tell us a little bit about John.
Yeah, John Yonelli was a local ventriloquist. And Dad had to get, you know, he was the first person he hired to come in and to entertain.
Yes.
So he came and entertained, and he just liked it so much. He said, Earl, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to put you in touch with my booking company called Associated Booking Corporation.
Mm.
It's the largest booking company in the country at that time.
At that time, yeah.
So Dad really lucked out because then... What happened after that, he got in touch with their agency and their agent, and he booked acts that were going from New York to Las Vegas. They would stop like as a hub satellite location in Joliet before they would move on and do a night or two nights with us.
Wow.
So we got all the big names that were going from New York to Vegas.
Now, you know, it's interesting because talking about John a little bit, let's go into his backstory, because John was in a concentration camp.
Yeah.
And so his background for doing what it's all kind of connected. So talk a little bit about his background when he's, you know, over there in the concentration camp. Talk a little bit about that story.
Well, I don't know a lot about it. Okay. I just know that that family was wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I think him and his wife were killed in a car, in a plane accident also.
Yeah.
And the Thayer family took on their children. Did you know that? They raised their children.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And one of the daughters is a singer too. She, last I heard, she was in Vegas singing.
Okay. Because I know when your dad would talk about him, he was, seemed like he was such a great friend and things. And that when he was over in the concentration camp, he couldn't speak all of the languages. There's so many people speaking all of these languages and things like that. And he didn't know how to relate to them. So he started doing pantomimes, and he would do pantomimes and entertain all of these, you know, the Jewish people that were in the concentration camps. And so the Germans were like, wait a minute, we better save this guy because he's got something special. He's keeping everybody calm before they're, you know, going to be, you know, exterminated and things. And so that story, him coming over here, you know, moving into the area and meeting your dad and be developing that friendship. Here's a guy that has a, that was a survivor of the camp, and then a guy in a tuxedo like your dad.
Right.
That started Joliet, turned Joliet, the whole map around by bringing in these celebrities through the, like you said, the satellite bookings.
Absolutely.
Now, going back in time, these two people working together with this large agency in Chicago, who was the first celebrity that they brought here to Joliet?
Well, the first one was Louis Armstrong.
Louis Armstrong.
And they asked Dad, "Do you what? Would you like Louis Armstrong?" And Dad said, "Are you kidding?" So that was his first artist that came.
Wow! Wow!
Amazing.
Now tell
what
us a little bit about the story, because he talked about that a little bit. We have him on tape talking about Louis Armstrong, because you know he was a sweater. He was a guy that sweat a lot of things on stage.
He was, so, if anybody remembers him, he was so passionate. His performances would leave him drenched in sweat.
Yes.
He worked hard.
Yes.
And he would take out a big white handkerchief.
Yeah, just dab in his face.
his body and his face.
Yeah.
Well, Dad knew this in advance, and he, in between shows, he would have Louis strip naked.
Yeah.
And put a dry, brand new tuxedo on him. And I mean, for a second show, only dad would do something like that.
Wow.
I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And Louis was so happy. He said, "Man, they really treat me good in Joliet. I'll come back to Joliet anytime," he told his agent.
Yeah.
And from then on, we were lucky. We got all the good acts.
See, that's so amazing. That talks about your dad and the hospitality, because everybody knows he's always wiping his face and things like that and just drenched. And the fact that he thought enough, let's get him dried off, toweled off, and then put him in a dry tuxedo for his next performance.
That's true.
That just, you know, that was back in the day. And I know that was, it meant a lot to Louis. And that opened the door for other celebrities to come out. So let's talk a little bit about some other celebrities that came out during that time. I mean, it's such a great list of stars that literally got, you know, that came through Joliet and just made an impact here and then just kept going to California or to New York or wherever they were going because of the satellite. So who are some of the other stars?
Well, Guy Lombardo.
Oh, my gosh.
Duke Ellington.
Okay.
Pete Fountain.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Brubeck. Al Hurt. Stan Kenton.
Okay.
Count Basie. Henny Youngman. Frank Sinatra Jr., Tina Turner.
Wow, wow.
Phyllis Diller, Chubby Checkers,
and
a boy band of the 60s called the Swinging Lads.
And I know there's so many other celebrities that I know that came through there as we were doing the research as well. You know, Ricky Nelson and, you know, Ramsey Lewis and Liberace, you know, that's like really big time. That's like L.A. type of thing. Tony Bennett, one of the great singers and things. Paul Simon, Pat O'Brien, Dolly Parton. Oh, my gosh. These are just some of the celebrities that you mentioned that came through Joliet, you know, back in that time. You mentioned Phyllis Diller. Tell us a little bit, a story about Phyllis Diller. She was such a great comic and a great personality.
She was a favorite in Joliet. She came back for multiple shows.
Wow.
But Dad would pick her up at the airport.
Okay.
And they got like a police escort to the show in Joliet. And when they got in Joliet and she was getting out of the limo with Dad, she said, hold on, my hair. And Dad's like, "What, Phyllis, we can't do your hair now. I don't have hair. Wait. And she bent over, pulled her hair left and right, shook her hair, a total mess. That was her signature
look. Yeah, look in the
and
day.
And said, "Okay, I'm ready. Let's go." And that was just hilarious.
Oh my gosh. That, 'cause I mean, you think about stars when they're on stage, they have one look, but then off stage is something totally different. You know what I mean? And she did have this wild, wild hair, and it was part of her signature look on stage. And she probably forgot, my hair is combed, I need to have it messy, you know?
And she wore a sequins dress and go-go boots.
Go-go boots.
Oh
my
gosh. She was hilarious.
And she was a person that came often to the 214 Ottawa Street.
She was a lot of the like Joan Rivers was learned from her.
Oh my.
She was fantastic.
And I know that they said Barbara Walters even came through the town to the area. Barbara Walters as well. And you mentioned a name, you said Count Basie. Tell us a story about Count Basie. That was one of the people that you mentioned too that came. I mean, there's so many great stories that your dad had and the celebrities and people that came to Joliet and some of the behind the scenes stories that they had. But in those days, I know photography was different. You know, you had the old fashioned cameras and things like that. So tell us one of the stories about Count Basie.
Count Basie, mm-hmm. He was the famous pianist. Band leader and composer. He was in town and posing for a picture with my dad, holding, shaking hands.
Yes, yes.
And the photographer, I don't know what happened, but he couldn't get the bulb right or the film wasn't going in. So they were holding hands for quite a long time. And Count Basie finally looked up and said, "You better hurry up or I might fall in love." And Dad was like, "Oh my God," everybody burst out laughing.
But I mean, there's so many great stories. That's what we want to highlight, because your dad was able to attract all of these different celebrities, different backgrounds, jazz and singers and actors and actresses and things like that. And even the theater, you know, people from the theater and stage. So let's talk about Piccolo Playhouse, because you even had that going on besides the dance and the disco and all of the things going on in the ballroom. Now you guys are doing theater as well.
So he decided to do a theater in the round. And he hooked up with a director out of Oak Brook that was doing that theater and got a lot of the same actors that came through too. And it was a theater in the round. So everybody sat around in a circle around.
Okay.
So the whole play was kind of moved around.
Oh.
So it didn't face just forward.
Oh,
it would face around.
Oh my.
It was
such different.
Yeah. It was a really neat thing.
Wow.
Nobody had a bad seat.
Oh.
And, they did a lot of plays. They were pretty much sold out.
Mm. Now, some of the celebrities that came to the Piccolo Playhouse, I know back in the day, I know Susan Lucci, everybody loves them, all my children, you know, for her to be here in the city of Joliet. Tab Hunter, I know, was another one. Andy Devine. Who are some of the other people that came?
Pat O'Brien.
Mm.
Rosemary Prince. She was very popular. She was Penny. From As the World Turns. It was like the first soap opera. She was the lead actress in it. Hmm. So she was a big attraction. And she came for a couple different plays.
And, you know, during that time, soap operas was big. I mean, it was like
people
were watching soap operas like
24/7.
24. Yeah. I mean, it was really big. It was a whole lot of them, you know, going on at that time. And so to have some of these celebrities that were on television on some of these soap operas come to the city of Joliet and to perform in theater, that was pretty big. And I know your dad talked about a lot of times they're walking around the cities of city.
They were at our house.
Yeah. Going to the store.
Yeah.
Buying things at downtown Joliet. You know, talk a little bit about that when you're having dinner with the stars.
Well, they would come for, they would rehearse for 2 weeks and then have the play. I think it ran a week or maybe 2 weeks.
Okay.
So they were in town for a month. Mm-hmm. Dad would take them. A lot of them wanted to go for a tour to Stateville.
Stateville.
Dad had to get
when it was in his heyday, right?
Yeah. They all wanted to see the prison.
Yeah.
So they all go very carefully, you know, and the warden would put them on a motorized vehicle and drive them through.
Oh, wow.
So that was a big deal.
Yeah.
He also took them to Chicago to do interviews. I think it was Irv Kopsinet at the time.
Okay.
That did interviews, and he would bring them down there when they came to town.
Mm.
And then they would tell why they're here, you know, and talk about the play and everything.
See, that's the great thing about at that time, the satellite booking, because we were able to get a lot of celebrities into the city of Joliet because of the satellite booking. I mean, they didn't look at Joliet as a small town or anything. It was like a little Las Vegas because of your dad and the type of entertainment that he brought here. And then him wanting to serve the city as a councilman was just like, oh my gosh, it's really amazing. Now, I want to talk a little bit about some of the political figures that came through Joliet, because it wasn't only celebrities that came and television celebrities, but and musicians that we talked about scores and scores over the years. But there was also political figures that were drawn to Joliet as well. Let's talk a little bit about some of these people, specifically one of our presidents, Mr. Gerald Ford at the time.
Yeah, Gerald Ford was a guest in our hotel. We built a hotel, the Sheridan Motor Inn. He was there October 16th, 1976.
Wow.
Before he came, the Secret Service was there, like combing our whole hotel. Dad said, they're going through every room. You know, they're going through our dining room, everything, make sure there's no bugs or or spies or whatever, you know, anything dangerous for his one night stay.
Wow.
Which is it's a major event.
And I remember him talking about, because at that time it was landlines. We didn't have cell phones back in the day. Yeah. So they had to, the president has to always have the red phone, as they call it, or that phone to be able to get a hold of anyone.
Right.
And so I remember him saying they took all this time and had to put in these phone lines and so that he had access to be able to reach that phone in the case of an emergency or something. And
for one night.
For one night, all of the prompts and circumstances that had to go on.
Yeah.
And I remember someone saying there was even a sign saying, shh, president is sleeping here on the marquee, which,
you know,
that could never happen today. You don't know where the president is, you know.
Oh, gosh, no.
And so that's just some of the great stories that some of the things that have happened here in our great city. What about Reagan? Talk to us a little about Reagan.
Reagan was in town, too.
Okay.
And I believe he stayed at the hotel, but I'm not positive, but I think he did.
Yeah, yeah. And Jack Kennedy.
Yeah,
that's another one. Yeah. Now, you guys often took like trips and little one-day trips with some, like, you know, with the bands, the one of the groups, the boy groups and things. Tell us a little bit about just hanging out with celebrities
that
like that,
heaven.
Going places.
We were only like 8, 9. And that boy band, they were so cute. There was 5 of them, Swinging Lads. I think you have their picture.
Yes, yeah.
We took them to, I think it was, I can't remember what amusement park it was. They went on all the rides with me and my sister, and we were just in heaven. My parents were there.
Yeah.
But it just meeting them and being hanging around, they were like friends. They played there quite often.
Okay. And then autograph pictures. I mean, that was a big thing.
You guys get
Phyllis Diller autograph pictures from, and taking pictures with them, not only getting their picture, but you guys being able to take pictures with these different celebrities that have come through. And these celebrities have just gone on, some of them, to just skyrocket to just numbers. Oh my gosh, world loved worldwide.
They were legends. A lot of those artists were legends.
Wow.
Jethro Tull also stayed at our hotel. They played at Joliet Central High School and they came after and stayed at our hotel in 1975.
Wow.
So I got a picture of Ian Anderson. I can't find it.
Well, you know, let's talk a little bit about the Earl's Cafe, because he was doing business there. And I know a lot of things change in the city and the malls came and things like that over time. And so he decided to open up, you know, restaurants and things like that. So tell us some of the memories about Earl's Cafe.
He bought that hotel. It was a Chinese restaurant.
Oh, okay.
And it had started as Archie's. Then it was a Chinese, Tin Sing was the name of it.
Okay.
And he bought it in 1978.
Okay.
And took about maybe 5-6 months to renovate it and open up. And it was gangbusters. It was so busy.
Wow.
We had a great, we had a dance floor and the bar was hopping every weekend with karaoke.
Wow.
And the restaurant did fabulous.
Wow.
We had an we were the first restaurant to have an outdoor deck. So that was
outdoor deck.
Dad would always look at trends that were in California and bring them to our location.
Now, you know, talking about your dad, I just want to just talk about him a little bit for our audience, because you had the privilege of having a great dad, like you said. a lot of people in Joliet knew him. He had a lot of friends, and you know, in the political world, and he kept in contact with a lot of these celebrities over time and things like that as well, and being busy. What do you want our audience to know about your dad?
That he loved Joliet no matter what. He loved Joliet and said it every day of his life. Mm-hmm. What a great town this is, till the day he died. And he was such a kind guy and so positive. His positivity still rings in my ears.
It's
wonderful to have that kind of a dad.
Now it's just the two daughters, right? Uh-huh. And then how many children, how many grandchildren did Ron
I have? Two. Two I have a daughter, daughter Alexandra, and a son, Danny.
Okay. And I know that he said every day he would talk to his family. He had a chance to talk with his family, his parents at that time. So he was a family man.
Yes.
A community man, loving the city of Joliet, loving people like that. And just a servant to our great community.
He'd do anything for you. Like you said, he would think about how he can make your life easier. Every artist that came, but every friend he knew, he always did something special for them. He always did.
Wow. Now, when you think back, I know a lot of the restaurants have moved. They've changed the names. You've sold a lot of the businesses and things along that line. What is the one message that you want Joliet to remember your dad for? He was a servant. He had a servant's heart. I know. But he did so much and it impacted so many lives, touched so many people. Joliet is a great city. It's a city of champions. But he left an imprint on our city because of the celebrities that he brought to this town. You could never have that many celebrities come through Joliet ever again. All of these names, Liberace and, you know, Ramsey Lewis, all of those celebrities, Dolly Parton. Some of these people wouldn't even come through Joliet today, you know, and things. But he was the catalyst for change. You know, it began with a guy in a tuxedo and a guy from a concentration camp that turned Joliet around and brought all of these people here. So what would you want the community and the people to remember your dad most for? Because he still means a lot to a lot of people. You say his name and everybody's like, yeah, we know Earl. We used to eat at the restaurant and we stayed at 214. And a lot of those celebrities, they still remember him and they remember Joliet because of him.
I think he always brought out the best in people or found the best in people. And he, you know, people loved him, but he loved people. Mm-hmm. He just loved people and he was never negative. Mm-hmm. He was never negative. He was a great dad.
Wow. Wow. Well, I just want to thank you so much. You've been great. You bring out the best in others as well, doing what you're doing and your personality. You are definitely your dad's daughter. That's for sure. Because your personality is very magnetic and you just, you reach out to people, you embrace people. And that is the spirit of your dad. His memory lives on and he's alive in your heart and his memory is alive.
For sure.
And that's what we want you all to know, folks, that Earl D'Amico, this is a person that impacted our city greatly. He left an imprint on Joliet. Not only was he a congressman, but he also had restaurants, had businesses. He opened up a ballroom. There was Piccolo Theater. So much that he brought to our great city of Joliet, and scores of people today still remember him and the work and the impact that he made on the great city of Joliet, Illinois. We want to thank you for listening. If you did not see this entire broadcast or hear this entire broadcast, we want you to visit our website at www.road2eternity.net. Gianna's information will be on there. And we want you to look forward to something that's going to be happening on May 16th, right at 214 Ottawa Street. It's going to be a celebration in honor of Mr. Earl D'Amico, his memory. It's going to be a fireside chat with Gianna. She's going to be talking about some of the great memories that he brought to Joliet, some of the celebrities and other great things that were going on behind the scenes. So you want to be able to tune in to Channel 6 Television to be able to catch that great episode that's going to be airing right here in our city of Joliet. Thank you for watching. I want you to know that you are uniquely designed and strategically gifted. Use your gifts to impact the world the way that Mr. Earl D'Amico did. Thank you for watching.
Thank you for listening to Gifted with Sheila White. We hope you understand how your gifts can make an impact on the world. Gifted with Sheila White is produced by Road to Eternity, a film and television production company.